If you are like me, there are occasions when you might get extremely annoyed with what someone is doing. And you get so annoyed that you declare, if I were king, this wouldn't be allowed to happen. Because if you're king, you can make the rules as you want and make people do what you want. For me, the question is whatever it is that's annoying me at that moment. Maybe it's somebody that's been tailgating me for 5 miles. Or maybe it's the driver of the car in front of me. When we stop at that red light, they drop their cigarette butt out on the ground like the world is their personal ashtray. Or maybe it's when I'm at a concert and the person next to me keeps messing with their cell phone. Bad things are going to happen to them. I can tell you that. If I were king, cell phones would be banned from concerts. Litterers would be placed in stocks and tailgaters. You just wait and see what's going to happen to you. Now, if pressed on this matter of being a king or queen, if I were to ask any of you, what would you be like? You would assure me that you would be a benevolent ruler, wouldn't you? That all your actions would be for the happiness and the well-being of all the people in your realm. And no doubt you would. You would be the kind of king or queen, the monarch, that when you died, oh, they would write songs about you and sing about you and parades through the streets. However, what if we took this particular fantasy and turned it a bit, made it a little bit darker? So instead of wanting to just be a benevolent monarch, instead you desired to be a dictator. And not a good dictator either, but a tyrant, a despot, an autocrat. Everything that you would do as dictator is designed to bring you wealth and power. You don't care about the people under you other than their ability to enrich you, to make your life more comfortable. However, to be such a dictator takes work, or else the people will rebel and rise up against you. And you need to oppress the people at every turn if you want to keep them in their place and so you can keep your place. You have to make them live in fear. You have to keep them poor and dependent. You can't allow them to travel because you don't want them talking to people from other happier places. You can't even allow them to think. You've got to control their media. If your people crave news, they can have news, but it's got to come from your newspaper and your television station. But then there's the matter of books. Because you can't have your people reading anything that might talk about freedom or happiness or human rights. You can't have them reading anything that might provide them with even the slightest glimmer of hope. You've got to rid your land of all these books. Now, I've thought about this, and if I were a tyrant, then the first book that I would eliminate would be the Bible. Because from cover to cover, the Bible is a book of hope. A book of hope that directs us to a new reality, to a brighter existence. We see this vividly today, reading from the book of Isaiah. Here in the 11th chapter, we read Isaiah's description of a new ruler and a new kingdom, a kingdom of peace. This portion of Isaiah was written in the 8th century BC, which was a time of great political turmoil and military uncertainty in the nation of Judah. Judah's neighbors, the Assyrians, were preparing to wage war, and Judah was terrified. It's difficult for us in this country to imagine the fear that these people faced. We live in a nation with a powerful military. And except for Mexico and Canada, we are geographically isolated from the rest of the world. The possibility of an invasion here is fairly slim. But imagine that the U.S. weren't one country, but all the states were individual countries. And each country had its own language and its own customs and traditions. They were isolated one from another. And imagine that here in the nation of Tennessee, that we were constantly under a threat of an invasion from Kentucky or Alabama or Georgia or any of our other neighbors. And we in Tennessee, we had been at war before. We had gone through this, and so we know the consequences. We know from experience that war means that people get killed, that buildings are destroyed, that fields are trampled. We know war. And if war is inevitable, then what hope is there for anyone? And so, we can turn to Isaiah. For in these pages, the prophet offers us a vision of hope, a promise of a new reality. Isaiah admits he can't eliminate the Assyrian threat, but he can offer his people a reason to live. In his prophecy, hope emerges from that which has been declared dead. In this case, it's a tree stump, a dead tree stump. Isaiah calls this the stump of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David. David was the last great king of Israel and Judah. And when David died 200 years earlier, the kingdom split and has never been strong again. But Isaiah promises that out of the stump of Jesse, the kingdom of David, shall emerge this single shoot, a little branch, a sapling, and this shall be a new ruler for the people. And this ruler will be different. This ruler shall rule with equity and justice, with righteousness and faithfulness. This ruler will be a man of God. As Isaiah puts it, his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. God's Spirit will rest on this ruler. This ruler will have wisdom and understanding, counsel and might. He shall know the Lord better than anybody. And his kingdom, the kingdom that he shall rule over, will be like no other kingdom before. It shall be what we call the peaceable kingdom, where nature itself is reordered. The predator will live with the prey, the hunter with the hunted, and their shepherd, it'll be a small child. As Isaiah writes, the wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. The child shall put its hand on the adder's den. I don't have to remind you that for the past year, we've been studying the Gospel of Luke. And early in that Gospel, Jesus declared that his purpose in the world was to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. But you will recall that Luke didn't offer us much information at all on exactly what the kingdom of God was like. In fact, he gave almost no description whatsoever about the kingdom. And when the Pharisees ask him, what is the kingdom like? Jesus says, it can't be described. For us, reading Luke's gospel, this was a bit frustrating. What was the kingdom like? We wanted to know. Luke talked about it. Luke urged us to prepare ourselves for the kingdom, but he never told us what it was. But he didn't have to, did he? Luke didn't need to describe the kingdom because the kingdom is described in detail in his scripture, our Old Testament. And one such place that we find a description of the kingdom is here in Isaiah. So what is the kingdom like? Well, according to Isaiah, the kingdom is ruled by a righteous person who keeps God at the center of everything. And this ruler will watch over the poor and the meek. And in this kingdom, the old rules of predator and prey are obsolete. The wolf and the lamb, the leopard and the goat, and others will live in harmony. The lion will be a vegetarian. As Christians, we recognize this kingdom as God's house. It is where Christ reigns. And as Isaiah says, it shall be glorious. In our nation today, we may not need to worry about foreign armies invading our land. But that does not mean that we, ourselves, personally, are immune from fear and despair. We know the suffering of the loss of someone we love. When a relationship fails, it feels like our house has been burned to the ground. When we are confronted by disease, it is like an army marching across our land, trampling everything in sight. For that time in our lives when all is dark and our world is crumbling, Isaiah comes to us and offers us this glimpse of God's holy kingdom. Out of a crack in the sidewalk, this fragile bit of green reaches up. It's a sliver of hope in a dead world, a sliver of peace amidst the chaos. Now, by all rights, the kingdom should not be here. We don't deserve this kingdom, but it is here, and it is coming. It is a gift from God. And may we do all in our power to prepare ourselves for this kingdom.